Well, thanks for joining me. I see our lines are already full for the chapel. So if you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on the air. Of course, you can join me anytime at 888-914-9149. It's great to be back here with you. It really is. I feel so good. I look forward to praying with you. I was away. I don't know if you were aware of that or if you're a regular listener. If you are, I do want to send out, once again, my deepest gratitude to John Harper, to Kale Clark, and to Kevin Turley, who guest hosted in my absence. Delighted to be able to walk away from the show knowing that you're going to be guided by some very bright and very eloquent men. And it's a delight to be able to go overseas and pray. I went to the Holy Land. It was 25 years since I've been to the Holy Land. 25 years. A long time. Last time I was there, I was with a great mystic. Her name was Maria Esperanza Medrano de Bianchini. I've talked about her many times. And one of the spiritual directors on this trip, believe it or not, was the vice postulator for her cause. And he actually gave a talk to everybody that was on this trip. And, boy, we went to some incredible places. I want you to know, before we pray the chapel, I prayed for you every place I went. I know many of you would have loved to travel with me, and I know they had to cut the trip off. There was enough people for another bus or two, but they cut the trip off. A lot of people sent me their prayer intentions, and those intentions were at every site. They were at every single mass, and I think this is super cool. The intentions were left. There were two places where intentions were left. One was a group of Carmelites who take these intentions, and I was told by our guide, they literally take prayer intentions. They want them. It's part of their ministry. And they read every single one of them. And they pray for those intentions by heart. So if you've written to me, if you've submitted a prayer intention, they're going to be prayed by Carmelites. The other place we left them was at Calvary, in the very place where Christ hung on a cross, where blood drained from his body, soaked that holy ground. And it was there that those intentions were placed. So a lot of prayer still coming your way, and I'm so happy for that. But I prayed for you in a particular way. I actually snuck back up to Calvary. We were there, and I only had maybe 30 seconds to pray my first time. And as the group went through and we had Mass, towards the end of the trip, I ran back up. I was able to spend some quiet time. And believe it or not, the Calvary was vacant. It was just me with the Lord. And I have so many intentions I took with me in my heart. So many people have asked me to pray for them. If you ask me, I've prayed for you there especially. But you are my family. You are my spiritual family. Those of you who pray with me every afternoon, the Chapel of Divine Mercy, I mean that there's not a time when I'm in personal prayer that you're not with me. I really consider you part of that spiritual family, even though we may never meet, maybe geographically we're separated. One day you and I will be perfectly reunited, and we will know each other in a perfect way, with perfect love in the next life. And I'm so happy to be able to pray for you every day right now here on the air, but I'm also happy to take you on pilgrimage with me and to remember you when I spend time with the Lord. So the only thing I ask, would you pray for me? I got to tell you, Satan hates what I do. He hates it with a passion, and I know he tries to divide and attack and conquer. And I have spiritual protection. I've seen it, but I can certainly use it. The assaults by the evil one are relentless. So I'll pray for me and my own walk with the Lord, that I can grow in greater holiness. And I want to be here for you for a long time. I want to be able to pray for you and for your intentions and intercede. And I want you to do me a favor too, if you could. Send me your prayer intentions, okay? Send me those prayer intentions. Also, send me your answered prayers. I think they're so important. So many people on this trip said, oh, I had this answered prayer. I said, well, write it down. Do me a favor. Write it down. Mark it answered prayer or praise report or however you want to do it so I get my attention. And because I get so many emails, I'll do a quick search. They'll all come together, and I'd like to read them on the air, and I also like to save them because they edify me. And they inspire others' faith. So please do that. Answered prayer, drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. That's the email for the show. Send me your answered prayers there. Also, Maggie's going to be praying with me, and Maggie will be taking your Twitter intentions. Follow us on social media, at Drew Mariani and at Drew Mariani Show. All right, go there at Drew Mariani Show and submit those prayer intentions, and Maggie will bring them forth. Maggie, I am, first of all, glad you're praying with me. Thank you for holding the fort down while I was gone.
Of course.
And I want, and I shared this with you before I went on air, but I'll let others know. I prayed for you and for Nick, both who are engaged. They're my colleagues here at the network, in a particular way. Cana, Kathy, and I, we had our vows renewed at Cana. I'll tell you what, I got kind of choked up a little bit. It was kind of weird, you know. As I get older, I think I'm getting more emotional. And I was like, I'm looking into her eyes. The priest is it was really quite beautiful. But I thought of you there, and I promised you I'd pray for you. So, Cana, you were remembered.
Thank you.
You got some fans, a number of people saying, oh, I love Maggie. I love her voice. I love when she prays with you. So,
oh, that's so nice.
So you were with me all along the way as well. A lot of things we did there, too, on this trip, and as I said, you know, I had the opportunity to give a short talk on the Sea of Galilee, the very place where Christ was with his apostles, where he walked on the water, where he preached, where he taught. It was kind of cool. So there's so much more to talk about, but I do want to pray with you today. So if you have those prayer intentions, feel free to join me. And if you don't get through on the phones, that's okay. I mean, the Lord knows our needs. He certainly knows your heart and your intentions. Let's just unite together, all right, and do this. Pray with great trust. Pray with great faith. And be aware and know that God hears your prayers. He does. He hears these prayers. I think our voice is amplified before the throne of God when so many people from not only around the country but around the world are praying together. So we will begin as we do every day. And before, I was going to share one more story with you, but let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, let's take our first call today. It comes from Susan. She's praying with us in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Susan.
Hello there. Drew, hey. I was almost going to be on the trip. I hope you can hear me.
I can. I certainly can. I'm sorry you weren't.
I was scheduled to go, and then I had to cancel because my great-grandson was due.
Oh, wow.
I want you to pray for Matt. He's the father of my great-grandson, Lido. Okay. But he doesn't want to be involved with the baby at all or my granddaughter, who is lovely. And it's just the saddest thing, but the baby is beautiful. We are all rejoicing. She arranged to have the baby baptized right away, which happened to coincidentally be on my parents' wedding anniversary on October 9th. And all is well with our family. It's just that we're praying for sad Matthew, who's lost in Colorado, apparently depressed from what their friends say, and it just doesn't know what to do, just doesn't want to be a part of any of it. So pray for him that he will meet Jesus Christ.
Susan, you got it. We're going to pray right now. I'm glad you got through, and I know the Lord hears these prayers. We'll certainly pray for him.
I hope I'll be on my next pilgrimage with you.
Well, you know what? I missed you. You would have loved this. This was really just an extraordinary trip. I was so happy because it's the first time I ever took a pilgrimage with this organization, and it was a lot of fun. We were thinking of maybe doing something next year. We'll see what Relevant Radio decides, but there's two places where I'd be super excited to go, and I'll fill everyone in if we get the green light on that. But Susan, let's pray right now, most importantly.
It's just wonderful. Thank you.
We'll pray for Matthew, okay? Lord, I give you this beautiful woman and her heart full of intentions. I pray for Matthew. I pray for those who are confused, Lord, those who are depressed, those who do not see the value in family. Matthew is, of course, the father of her great grandson and wants to leave his family. And I pray for families. I was sharing this on the trip, and I really do believe this, that this is demonic. I mean, Satan hates family. Sister Lucia de Santos often, she said, you know, the final confrontation will be over life and family and marriage. And that's where we are right now. Satan is attacking your family. He's attacking your marriage. And Lord, I just pray in a particular way that you vanquish any demonic force that's bringing division into a family where there's abuse, where there is lack of love, where there's lack of charity, where there is division. And I ask that you heal those broken relationships, that you insulate, you strengthen those good marriages. And I pray in particular for Matthew as we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Norma in Miami, Florida. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you. I just want to put for prayer of Estella Catherine, mm-hmm. who's having her baby today, and they can't find the baby's heartbeat. Her name is Violet. And I ask that everyone pray for Estella and Violet so that our mother would intercede on her behalf.
Amen. Well, you know what? I'm going to pray for a divine mercy miracle right now, Norma. Okay? I want you to join me
Amen.
In that. I believe miracles happen. I believe the Lord can hear these prayers. And Lord, I pray for Stella, who's giving birth. Doctors cannot find the heartbeat. And I just pray to you, St. Paczynski, to you, Blessed Sheen, to all you saints. Those two men were known for the resurrection miracles of children within the womb. And I just pray for, Lord, right now, as you raise the widow's son, as you healed and rose your friend Lazarus, I pray for a resurrection right now. And you promised your disciples, your apostles, that they would do deeds greater than yours, you know. So I just pray right now that the promise of this chaplet, I pray for another resurrection. I pray for this to take place. I pray for this child in the womb. And I give you all those with complicated pregnancies, all those struggling with infertility, all those with endometriosis. Lord, I want to pray for all those with low sperm counts. I want to pray for those right now contemplating aborting their children. And I just give you the intention of life and birth. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Rancho Cucamonga in California next. Richard is praying with us there. But before I do that, let me bring Maggie in. You hear her praying with me today. She's been monitoring our Twitter feed, and I know is often, you know, bringing your voice to the air. And Maggie, thanks for doing that. I know a lot of intentions are coming in. What can we pray for today?
Before we get to the Twitter request, Drew, sure. We have an in-house prayer that needs lifting up. Our colleague Cyrus Most people might know him from Patrick Madrid's show. Mm-hmm. His brother-in-law, Mike, it was discovered just days ago that he had a large brain tumor in his frontal lobe that needed to be removed. They removed it as of yesterday, and now he's experiencing internal bleeding. They think it might be a glioblastoma.
Oh, no.
So
that's terrible.
Mike and his whole family need a miracle. They need prayers. So I want to lift up Cyrus and his family.
Yeah, I'll certainly do that.
Christy wrote to us, and she says, I need urgent prayers for a woman named Summer. She has decided to go forward with an abortion soon, even though the father wants to keep the baby. Our Lady of Guadalupe, please intercede for this couple.
Sad.
So sad. Ross asks for prayers for Dave, the father of 11 young children, and he's dealing with some health challenges and uncertainties right now. Elizabeth is asking for prayers for her pregnancy. This one carries more risk than usual. She prays that it all goes well with no complications. And lastly, Caitlin's asking for prayers for a family friend named Jonathan, who might have cancer. He's also the father of 2 young girls. They're asking for a miracle of healing.
If you want to send us your intentions, drew@relevantradio.com or @DrewMariani Show. Maggie will bring them to air. Of course, you can follow me at Drew Mariani as well. Let's pray for these miracles, for Cyrus's brother, for all these impossible situations. They seem so dark and so grim, but with God, all things are possible. And let's add Richard to this third decade as well. Richard, thank you for waiting. Good afternoon.
Welcome back, Drew. So,
thank you.
2 quick things. One, I just a prayer of Thanksgiving. So last right. Pledge drive, I had a pretty good month as from my small business that I own, and right. so I decided to give some to Relevant Radio. Well, today in the mail, I received I received a tax refund for what my pledge was plus not quite half.
I love it.
But I got back my pledge plus some
wow.
more. So
praise God.
Thanksgiving for that. Yes.
Hey, do me a favor, Richard. When I do the pledge drive, when I do that, call in and share that story. There's so many great stories like that. I just love the fact that you recognize that and you gave testimony to it.
Yes. And then also, I live here in California where we need prayers to turn away Prop 1 on the no to unlimited late-term abortion. So prayers go out for that, and all the everybody out there, just pray for California. So.
Well, thank you, Richard. Hey, thank you for sharing that story, too. So write it, send it in to me, too. I'd love to share that on the air coming up. But, Lord, I give you thanks for the way you provide. And you can never outgive God. Maybe one day I'll open the phones and we can just talk about those stories of God's providence. I have so many of them, and I've learned the more I give, the more I get back. And it's not always financial. I always want to be careful about saying that. God loves a generous heart. He does. He loves it. And Lord, I just ask for your generosity now because I know you are altruistic. You are all giving. And I just ask that you pour graces upon those who are crying out to you now, that you hear their prayers, you answer their prayers, you allow miracles to take place, you bless their finances, you bless their health and their relationships. I give you these souls. And Lord, I also right now, I'm going to pray for Prop 1 and Prop 3, Prop 1 in California, Prop 3 in Michigan. And I'll talk about this maybe later in the week. I'm going to pray for life again. I know how offensive this is to you. I beg your mercy during this time of your mercy. Please hold back your hand of justice. Move the hearts of your children that life may be protected and it may reign. Give you these needs, wants, intentions as we pray, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Teaneck, New Jersey next. Mary, thank you for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'm under severe stress, and it's affecting my eyesight. I'm really scared. Please pray for me.
We will pray for you. And when that stress begins to mount, and I know it's tough for many people, they deal with anxiety. I want you just to do this. Repeat the words, Jesus, I trust in you. All right? Just keep saying, Jesus, I trust in you. And, and say that and peace will come to you, but I'm going to pray for your eyes right now. Mary, I want to pray for the lack of trust that you might have. Anxiety is, St. Francis de Sales once said, anxiety is one of the greatest evils that can befall a soul except sin. And I want to be careful about saying that. This is St. Francis de Sales. He says, God commands you to pray, but he forbids you to worry. Remember what scripture says, it doesn't add a day to your life, right? It won't do anything. Worry and anxiety do zero, zero, zero. What does trust and faith do? Faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain, right? Trust in God works miracles. So refuse to doubt. Begin today to operate with that spirit of trust and fear. You know, Isaiah 41 says, do not fear. I'm with you. Do not be anxious. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Remember that. All right? Remember that. God promises us all. I think somebody was saying 365 places in Scripture tells you to be not afraid. So, Lord, I pray for those who are perhaps right now in times of great anxiety, overwhelmed by their circumstance, suffering with distress. I pray for those in weak in faith. I know faith is such a gift, Lord. Grant us that gift as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our fifth decade. We'll start with Carol. We'll see if I can sneak an extra call or two in. She's listening in Joliet, Illinois. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I'd like to pray. Hello?
Hi, Carol. Go right ahead.
Okay. I'd like to pray for the conversion of my family, for my son Mike's surgery tomorrow, and for the healing of my grandson Isaiah, who has muscular dystrophy.
All right. We'll lift them up right now. Thank you for joining us. And I'll add to your intentions, Janet. She's listening in Illinois as well, in Pilas Park, Illinois. Hi, Janet. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'd like to pray for my granddaughter. Her name is Haley. She was just born last week with a tumor on her face between her eye and her nose, and this tumor contains brain tissue. I'd like to pray for healing for her.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I will pray right now. We're all going to pray right now for that little baby, and we will pray. God, you know, he can use science and medicine to bring about that healing. And can you tell me one more time, what was the baby's name?
The baby's name is Haley.
Haley, all right. We'll jot that down on our little prayer list here. And I'll ask everyone who's listening to us to pray for baby Haley, too. I'm sorry to hear that, Janet. We'll certainly lift. And Lord, I ask for mercy on Carol and on Janet, all the intentions that they have. Boys, we pray for miracles. Lord, I never limit you. I know this sounds impossible. I never limit you. A tumor can disappear overnight. It can disappear in an instant. You know, there have been miracles of regeneration. We have resurrection stories. So, but I give you these impossible and very difficult situations, and I ask for your healing touch. Madeline in Minneapolis, Minnesota, thank you for joining us in this final decade.
Hi, Drew. I just want to pray for my grandpa, John. He's been having depression and leg pain since his stroke last summer. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to pray for baby Henry. He was born at 27 weeks and he's in the NICU and he's been intubated and just found out he's got an infection today. So if you could pray for him.
And his name's Henry, right? Baby Henry?
Yes.
All right. We'll lift him up right now. A lot of intentions for children right now. So Lord, I thank you. You said bring them to you. So we will do that spiritually now. Lord, I give you Carlotta and Eileen and Norma and Carol and Barbara and Madeline and Pat and Pammy and Janet and everyone that's on hold right now. Lord, everyone who's called in, everyone who has written to me. But I do pray for these children. Lord, embrace them, those children in the NICUs and the PICUs and those who are now in ICU, Lord, wherever they may be. I just ask for your healing touch. I ask that those graces of healing go forth. Those graces of reconciliation go forth. Those financial blessings go forth. Lord, I ask you, hear the cries of your children, and in your mercy, you hear and answer us. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Paczynski and soon to be blessed Sheen.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. As God is answering your prayers, I know there are many answered prayers coming now. Be sure and write to me, drew@relevantradio.com. Let me know how God is working, okay? Of course, send us those intentions and tell others about this prayer. We prayed every day at this time. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit RelevantRadio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it is good to be back. So let me just say welcome back to you, too. I hope you missed me. I missed you. I did. But you were with me in spirit. I was praying for you pretty intensely during my time away. I do enjoy a pilgrimage. They can be trying and harrowing, to say the least. There's a lot of sacrifice often involved. A lot of patience has got to be exercised. But with that comes great merit and great grace. And I was praying for you every day, throughout the day at Mass, and my chaplets, the personal time I spent in prayer. Know that. So if you had sent in a prayer request, they were prayed for. They were left at Calvary, and they were put in the hands also of some Carmelite nuns for prayer. So a lot of prayer coming your way. Speaking of prayer, you know, this is, we're approaching the end of this month of October, rapidly coming into the month of November. November is the month where we celebrate, you know, a beautiful reality, the reality that we live forever, right? When you die, you don't die. You don't go out of existence. But you live. And the decisions you make have an impact. Many of our loved ones have passed before us, and they may be in purgatory right now. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody you don't know that needs your prayers. And I would invite you to join me, join the Relevant Radio family in prayer. We're going to be praying from November 2nd through the 10th. We're doing this novena for holy souls. And I love this because there's nothing more powerful, I think, than turning and praying for the souls. I had a great devotion to souls when I was a young man. And I'll tell you what, souls came to me. None manifested visibly like the Padre Pio, but there were encounters I had with souls, and I knew that they needed my prayers. And when you begin to pray like this, you're going to see that they're going to intercede for you. That when they get to heaven, boy, they're your biggest advocate. So here's what Relevant Radio is doing. I think it's a pretty cool idea. They want you to submit up to 20 names. You know, maybe it's your family members or somebody you know. Submit 20 of your departed loved ones. Go to relevantradio.com/souls. You can do that all the way up to November 10th. And when you submit the names of the souls to be prayed for, you're going to get reflections from Father Rocky every day, too. Each day, this novena will help you to enter more deeply into prayer. And I think it's a great thing to do. Sometimes we need a little extra help, right? You need a little bump. Well, what a great reminder and what a great exercise. What a great spiritual exercise. So add the names of your loved ones, relevantradio.com/souls. And join us as we pray for them during Mass, during the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, during the Family Rosary across America. It'll be a time really to really help them out. Here's the bottom line, and I got to take the plank out of my own eye before I can take the speck out of yours, right? Just like I forget my angel throughout the year a lot of times, I'm not always in relationship or communication with him, although my angel's with me in my entire life and will be with me in eternity. These souls, too, I think are so often forgotten. How often have you recently prayed for your departed loved ones? And quite often they got forgotten. And we should pray for those most forgotten souls, too, those in purgatory who most need our prayer. So I love this idea. November 2nd through the 10th, novena for the holy souls in purgatory. You can submit up to 20 names. So go ahead and do that, okay? 20 names, relevantradio.com/souls. All right. We got a lot to talk about today. Oh, hey, one other thing here before I get into some fun stuff, right? Before I do that, can I ask you to join me? And I mean, pray really hard for this particular intention. I've been talking a lot about prayer today, but I mean, this is a really time-sensitive, critical intention I'm going to ask you to pray for. And pray from your heart for this, because your prayers can affect countless souls. Father Rocky sent me an email earlier today and says, "Hey, Drew, today only, he says, could you pray one memorare for a very time-sensitive opportunity that could expand the Relevant Radio audience, okay? And we have up to 7 p.m. Central today, okay? I'm a believer in prayer. I am. And I know that when we ask Our Lady to intercede, she intercedes in a powerful way. So I want to pray the memorare since we've seen the fruit of that. We'll ask her to intercede. But whatever you could do, if you're going to pray your rosary, you're going to go to Mass later, if you're going to adoration, if you're stuck in traffic, if you're going through a hard time, maybe offer it up for this intention. Because that small sacrifice and that prayer you're about to offer, I know will save marriages, save lives, and perhaps save souls for all eternity. Join me now as we pray the memorare. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I turn to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come. Before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I pray for God's will, and I pray tomorrow I can share some good news for you. So maybe you got a prayer chain, a list, send it out. I mean, I don't know what this opportunity is. I have one sentence from Father Rocky, two sentences asking for these prayers, but I am convinced that this will be for the good of souls, and we need it in a time of great confusion in our culture, right? Great darkening of the mind. Boy, we need more Relevant Radio, not less. We need more God, not less. On another note, let's lighten it up a little bit. Jay Kopp's going to be stopping by in a moment. He wrote a book I came across, and when I was done talking to him last time, I said to my producers, I said, you know something? Let's get this guy on regularly. I love this. I love what he wrote. He wrote a book called 150 People, Places, and Things You Never Knew Were Catholic. I don't know if you're doing some Christmas shopping early. This is a fun coffee table book. It's just great for your spiritual library. I have it right here in the office next to me. And I think you're going to love this this book. And I want to talk to him about some other fun stuff. Yeah, I just got back from the Holy Land, so I can't recommend that you make a pilgrimage, yourself highly enough. But, you know, you may not be able to do that. And, you can, dive into the faith into this book. I'll tell you what. This is really quite an amazing book with all sorts of interesting trivia and facts. So depending on where you are, right, or depending on what's going on with you right now, you're going to, I think, just you're gonna love what we're about to talk about with Jay Kopp. And I want to welcome him because he's written a great book on our Sunday visitor, 150 People, Places, and Things You Never Knew Were Catholic. You can get it at osv.com. And I was on pilgrimage, and some of the things that he writes about in his book actually made me think about him. That's why I said to my producer, let's put him on. The Knights Templar, for example. I want to talk about how Christianity played a role in protecting the Holy Land and much more. But let me welcome to the conversation before we dive into anything else, Jay Kopp. Jay, good afternoon.
Yeah. Hi, Drew. It's great to be back. Good to hear your voice again.
It's so good to have you back here with us today, too. And it's been too long, really, because I said to my producers last time, like I said, I'd love to have him on frequently. But I just got back from the Holy Land, and when I was over there, I thought about you, and I thought, oh, gosh, there's so much we can talk about. For example, I was thinking about the Knights Templar. We were talking about the Holy Sepulchre and a whole lot of other things, the Holy Land, the history behind there. When you think of Knights Templar, you think of a lot of conspiracy theories. Let's start with this. What happened in the medieval era that put Knight Templars on the map? I mean, they literally changed the world's history. Of course, they didn't know it would do that back then, but it still did nonetheless.
Right. So the Knights Templar have a direct connection to Jerusalem. They were founded in Jerusalem over 1,000 years ago, 1118. So, as you mentioned, they were involved in the Crusades, and they helped free Jerusalem, and pilgrims from all over Europe, of course, started to go to Jerusalem again. So the problem was, though, that it was a dangerous time. It was a dangerous time to travel. There were bandits, and they would rob people and take all their valuables. So the Knights Templar devised an ingenious system. They're considered the founders of the first banks. So, you may think of banks as something organic that just grew out of the soil that were always there, but actually banks can be traced to specific time, place, and group, and that's the Knights Templar. So the Knights Templar, they had maybe hundreds of houses throughout Europe, and so what they did was they devised a system where pilgrims could deposit some of their valuables before they left on the trip at one of these houses, and then the knights would give them a letter of credit. And so then when the pilgrims got to Jerusalem, they didn't have to worry about having their valuables stolen. They could present the letter of credit to the Knights Templar in Jerusalem and get their money, and that would allow them to, stay in Jerusalem and complete their pilgrimage. Yeah, so they came up with an ingenious system. They were kind of like the Western Union of the Crusades, the Knights Templar.
Is it overreach then to say they kind of invented banking? Not really, right? I mean, but they assisted these pilgrims.
Well, yeah, I mean, they came up with that idea. So the whole idea of checks, there wasn't paper money, there wasn't checks. And that was the first tangible form of a check, right? So they are credited with being the founders of banking as we know it today.
That's amazing. I know you write about them in your book, in chapter 3 of it. So if people have your book, you can dive into that more deeply. Again, my guest today is Jay Kopp. He wrote a book called 150 People, Places, and Things You Never Knew Were Catholic. It's a great read. It's a fun read. You do everything from the Knights Templar to beer. I mean, it's October. It's the It's really a month that people think of Oktoberfest. They think of they think of beer. When I was over in Jerusalem, I tried a couple of their beers. They have a beer called Shepherd's Beer, and they also have another beer called Tabe, which I absolutely loved. But you write about, you write about beer as well. And, you know, I'm not sure if I talked about this with you before, but what's the Catholic connection to this brew?
Yeah, right. So there's a huge Catholic connection to the monks of the Middle Ages. So, of course, you know, Catholics didn't invent beer. Beer has been around for thousands and thousands of years. But what happened in the Middle Ages is Catholics helped perfect the brewing of beer. So they were the first brewmasters. These were the monks of Europe. So you have to remember in the Middle Ages what it was like. It was, clean water was hard to come by. And so kind of the what sustained people was beer. They would drink that. It was a way to avoid, you know, the dangers of drinking water. Beer was so popular, they call it the liquid bread. The monks, they had time. They had the time. They had the security to learn how to kind of master the art of brew making. So they refined the process, and they specifically institutionalized the use of hops as a flavoring preservative.
Yeah.
And so the key monk here was St. Gall. He was an Irish monk. So he founded an abbey in the 7th century. So it was near where Switzerland, Germany, and Austria meet. And so this was during the Empire of Charlemagne. And being it where it was situated, being it was the time of an empire, this one particular monastery had a huge influence in spreading the art of beer making. You know, they knew how to brew beer, and their knowledge was passed on throughout Europe. So you can give credit to this one monastery in St. Gall. Yeah. And even today, if you go to, say, Germany, which is Bavaria, is heavily Catholic. It's considered the world's beer capital. Some people say maybe a third of the world's breweries are there. So it's heavily Catholic, and practically every brew house, there are crucifixes inside the brew houses.
Wow.
You know, these people are Catholic. And so, of course, they have Oktoberfest, but they have festivals throughout the summer. You know, they don't need October for excuse to drink beer.
Yep.
And their ritual there is the priests will always bless the beer, you know, in the metal, and then everybody's off to the beer tent. And priests and nuns always get the first taste of the beer. That's a perk of their vocation.
I've got to take a short break. I'm up against the clock. When I come back, I don't know whether you can answer this question or not, but I heard a strange story about some beer that was sent to the Pope. You may not be able to answer this, but when we come back, I'll throw that at you. And we will also talk about perhaps if you have Hummel collection, you might want to find out what the connection, the Catholic connection to Hummels is, as well as football, the vaccines, and so much more. Stay with us. Our conversation continues.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
I can't live without you. I'm so caught up in you.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I can't live without you. A little 38 special there. Good afternoon. Welcome back. I once heard a story. I'll find out. Maybe my guest can answer it. Maybe he can. I'm speaking with Jay Kopp, who wrote a book called 150 People, Places, and Things You Never Knew Were Catholic. Check it out. It's a fun read. And like it's one of the lighter books on my bookshelf. I once heard a story about a marathon runner. This guy was a U.S. Army veteran, right? And he was trying to do something for Lent, and he was not going to eat anything. He was only going to drink beer, right? In fact, I had heard somewhere that Padre Pio had one beer a day. And Padre Pio was this great mystic who had the wounds of Christ, right? And all these other great gifts. And a priest once told me, yeah, Padre Pio, we don't have one beer a day. This U.S. Army veteran discovered that the 17th century monks in a German town called Einbeck, they invented this special dark beer. It was high in alcohol to help them through these times of extreme fasting, and became later known as Bock, and it's kind of a corruption of the town's name. But other monks, wanting an even stronger beer, they developed what they called Doppelbock, and it was known as liquid bread, like a German Guinness. And then, of course, there's this story of it's kind of an apocryphal story. I don't know how true it is. That monk seeking the papal approval of their brew, they took samples of this Doppelbock to Rome, and it spoiled during the journey. And the Pope, when he tasted it, disliked it so strongly, he said, let them continue to do their penance. He let them have it as a Lenten penance. But, yeah, who knows whether any of those stories are true. But, Jay, your thoughts on that? You ever hear that story about the Pope saying, let them do their penance?
You know, I haven't heard that story. It's a good one. I have to include that in the second edition of the book. So, yeah.
I'm glad you're doing a second edition.
I'll look that up later.
Yeah, I heard that story somewhere before. And somebody else told me, check out Padre Pio. See if it's true that he actually had a beer a day. You know, there's a lot of carbohydrates. There's a lot of stuff in this stuff. So I guess if you're gonna do penance, maybe, you know, a nasty beer is a good way of doing it. But some people I know don't like it. A lot to talk about here with you. Just a few moments left. Before I do, best way to get your book, OSV.com. Is that the best way to connect?
Yes, absolutely. Our Sunday visitor, right, yeah.
I think it'd make a great Christmas present. I know it's early, but we're literally probably 2 months from Christmas. We're not that far away. So fun read, 150 people, places, and things you never knew were Catholic by Jay Kopp. One other thing, want to get your take on vaccines. They make headlines right now, and of course, they're now a standard part of medical practice. So tell me a little bit about Louis Pasteur. I heard a story about him in the Rosary, but fill me in on what we know about vaccines and its Catholic connection.
Yeah, so he was the first person actually to use an artificially weakened virus as a vaccine. So back in the mid-19th century, he developed vaccines for rabies and anthrax. So he injected chickens with these cholera microbes, and the chickens remained healthy when they were exposed to cholera. So presto, he discovered the effectiveness of vaccines. You know, he's, of course, known for pasteurization. Yep. He's not as well known for the vaccines. So before he came along, he was a dedicated scientist and devout Catholic. He discovered that was the microorganisms that were making beer and milk and wine unsafe. So then he heated the liquids, he killed the bacteria, and presto, you had pasteurization. So, and he was always guided by his faith. You know, his science work was his vocation. He wanted to give glory to God. He extremely devout. He died while holding a rosary and having the story of St. Vincent de Paul read to him, because he always wanted to, number one, to help children, and that's what St. Vincent de Paul did. So he was a Catholic scientist through and through.
I remember hearing a story once of a university student who found himself seated on a train side by side by a person who, I don't know, it looked like a well-to-do peasant, if you will. And it was about 100 years ago. And he was praying the rosary. He was moving his fingers over the beads. And the student was kind of curious about this old man's actions. And he said to the guy, he says, sir, why do you believe in such outdated things like praying the rosary? He said, do you really believe that? And the guy says, yeah, I do. I see. And the man said to him, he says, you know, why don't you? And the student kind of burst out laughing, and he said, oh, come on. I don't believe in such silly things. Take my advice. Throw that rosary out the window. Learn what science has to say about it, right? And the old man says, science? Science? I do not understand this science. Perhaps you could explain it to me, the man said, very humbly. And they say he has his eyes kind of moistened. He kind of had tears in his eyes. And the student saw the man was deeply moved by those remarks. So he didn't want to hurt the guy's feelings anymore. And he says, give me your address. I'll send you some literature, help you better understand the matter. And the man fumbled inside his pocket of his coat. And he gave this boy his card. And when the kid looked at the card, the kid was mocking him for praying the rosary. The young student bowed his head in shame and became silent, because the card read, Louis Pasteur, Director of the Institute of Scientific Research, Paris. I just love it. I don't know whether it's a true story or not. You hear these stories, and I'm thinking, That's such a great one. Louis Pasteur, again, as you pointed out, everything from vaccines to love of the rosary. Hey, I only have about 2 minutes left. It's football season. Let me sneak one more in, and we'll bring you back again so we could talk more. Of course, Relevant Radio, we used to be located, our headquarters were in Green Bay, Wisconsin, home of the Green Bay Packers. Joe Lombardi is everywhere in that town. Give us a Catholic connection to football and in our Catholic faith.
Yeah, it's Vince Lombardi, because, you know, Lombardi is known as the ultimate winner. That there's a quote attributed to him saying, winning isn't the only thing, it's everything. He didn't actually say that, but it actually, his faith was so important to him that his Catholics would joke behind his back, like, what mattered to him more? Was it winning the game or getting to heaven? So he thought he'd be a priest when he was younger. That was his idea. And then he became very good at football. He went to Fordham, and he learned something from the Jesuits there. You know, the Jesuits taught him that you didn't have to necessarily be a priest, you know, to do God's will. So he saw being a football coach as a way to giving back, as a way to give glory to God. So he was a super devout Catholic. He would drive to practice. He'd have rosary beads, you know, snapped onto his steering wheel, give him time to pray the rosary. Every night he got down on his knees and he prayed before statues of St. Anthony and St. Jude.
Wow.
If you ever watched an old Packer game on TV, you'll see a bunch of priests and nuns on the sidelines because,
I love it.
You know, as coach, he got so many free passes and he freely gave them out to priests and nuns.
Jay, I got to hold it right there, right up against the clock. My apology to all Packer fans and to Vince Lombardi. It's my jet lag.